Now, stay tuned for Mrs. Green Goes Mainstream, a fun and informative green talk radio show that features guests from all over the country who talk about how living green can improve your lifestyle and be fun. Visit Mrs. Green's website, www.mrsgreensworld.com, for more information about her guests.
Hello, Tucson. Hello, world. Happy, happy, happy Saturday, the last Saturday in September. Where did the year go, let alone September? Blink, and it'll be the holiday time. This is News Talk 790 KNST, Mrs. Green Goes Mainstream, where we make sustainability a fun and informative topic every week, and this week will be no exception. So much going on in the show today, so much going on in the world. We have as our guest calling in Susan Preston, who is the general partner for CALCEF, the Clean Energy Angel Fund, and they made a lot of news this week because they funded $11 million in clean energy projects. So our timing could not have been more perfect once again. And let me just rock through this. Chapman Tucson and the Fairfax Companies, sponsors of Mrs. Green, thanks so much for what you're doing for our community and for the planet. I have to say a word about Arizona's Greenest Workplace Challenge. If you visit my website at mrsgreensworld.com, you will see that we're putting this on, and it's actually blowing us away. The response has been overwhelming. There was a great article in the Arizona Daily Star on Monday. We have 21 companies that have entered the competition, everything from Intuit to PopCycle to Vervay to National Bank. It is absolutely rocking. And you can do just one great green thing for the planet today. Get on the website and vote for companies that are making a commitment to sustainability. We'll be announcing the winners on the station on my Facebook page, which is over 1,000, Kat. Yay!
Woohoo! Woohoo!
1104 as of this morning, I think, or 1102. So Facebook is happening in Mrs. Green's world. And speaking of happenings, this Thursday night at from 6 to 9 p.m., you can enjoy Moments of Wellness with Mrs. Green at Vervay Salon, which is in Casas Adobes Plaza. And it's $30, but it's really free because the $30 goes towards product of shampoo, conditioner, makeup, your lipsticks, and it certainly is among the cleanest, greenest, least toxic, absolutely out-of-the-box, healthy products to put on your body. And they've committed to having all, Aveda has committed to having all of their products paraben-free by the year 2011, and that's huge, and January of 2011. So they are really supporting going in a greener direction. They do unbelievable things for the planet. I'd love to see you there. We're going to have fun. There will be food and wine and just a lot of moments of wellness so that you can learn about all that Aveda has to offer. And Vervay, of course, is my salon, so I love it there. Okay, Tohonichul Park. I just can't rant and rave enough about them. Had lunch there last week. It is a beautiful location now that it's getting cooler. You want to check it out. And they're having their members preview sale Wednesday, October 6th from 3 to 6. And members always get 10% off their purchases. And to be a member is some nominal amount. I don't remember what it is, but I renewed my membership. And then the public sale starts on Saturday, October 9th from 9 to 5. And it goes from Sunday to 10 to 4 on October 10th. And I just, my shout out for this wonderful Tucson treasure is plan to stay for lunch. They have really, really excellent food. Anybody that I've brought there, I talk about food a lot, I notice on the show, but I love to eat. And plan to stay for brunch. If you have kids, go out there. Don't just go to the sale. Go and enjoy the day. It's getting cooler every day. And I just love Tohonichul Park. They will be featuring plants that are really good for small spaces. And I there's an Elotraria, I think it's actually, and it's a little plant that grows from Texas to Arizona and as far south as Ecuador. They're not really common here, but they have an adorable little blue flower, and there's just a lot to learn out there. The docents are wonderful. The staff is wonderful, so check out Tohonichul Park. And, you know, I was thinking about it as I prepare for the show. I haven't talked very much about Wells Fargo lately, and they are my bank. They have been my bank for over 33 years. And I went to a Girl Scout fundraising breakfast this Wednesday morning at the crack of dawn. And who's up there as president of the board going on and on and on about Girl Scouts by my friend Bill Holmes from Wells Fargo. And I happen to know Bill quite well for a really long time. And he is just, he overgives, if that's possible. I'm always telling him, you have to get off some more boards. But this is the corporate message of Wells Fargo. So they're this big, huge institution. They have been awarded the Greenest Bank in America Sustainability Award from like Forbes or I forget who it is, Newsweek. And they give back to the community. They are told as a corporate culture, give back. I see representatives from Wells Fargo every place I go, and I go far too many places. So I recommend Wells Fargo without hesitation. They are a big corporate giant, but they act like a community bank in every single way that I can think of. And a little bit more about, I've been reading things about Facebook, not just about Mrs. Green and Facebook, but about Facebook and the demographics of this growing population blows me away, and the things that are happening on Facebook. I only go on pretty much to give the message of sustainability, and I try to keep it fun. And this week, I have a personal story to share. The most response I got going on the air is I went to the Doubletree on Wednesday. It was just a Doubletree day at noon to hear the president-elect of Rotary International speak. And he spoke about Rotary's commitment to the elimination of polio, the total eradication of it on the planet, which is one of the reasons why I've stayed in Rotary for as long as I have. The Gates Foundation has given hundreds of millions of dollars in match to Rotary International to help obliterate polio on the planet in our lifetime. So I go to this lunch and I eat two, not one, making it all about me here, two of those Doubletree chocolate chip cookies. And I am obsessed with them. They're so good. And I thought, no, I'm not going to have one. I'm not going to have one. Well, then I called the Doubletree. And what I was told, and I'd love if anybody out there knows the answer, we're at 520-880-5678. We'd love you to call in anyway, 880-5678. They said 950 calories per cookie. And I'm like, no way. So I haven't eaten a bite of food since Wednesday at noon. Not true. But anyway, they were really good. So I put this up on Facebook on the Mrs. Green page because of the RI president, because sustainability to me is the health of the planet. So if people have polio in India, they can always get on a plane and come to America and bring it back. So we really want to eradicate it. And I made it all about the cookies. And I got so much response. I got 14 comments on Mrs. Green's Facebook page for my cookie experience, but they are very good. And if anybody knows the real calorie count, please call 880-5678. And Hank, if you are listening and you know who you are, Hank, my family's requesting more apple butter. See, that's what you get to do if you're Mrs. Green. We're requesting more apple butter. But if you are interested at all in the work of Rotary International, just Google it. And it's phenomenal what we've been able to do as a volunteer organization. If you want to know what's going on with alternative energy, where angel investors are putting their money, stay tuned. Susan Preston from CALSA, Clean Energy Angel Fund, will be on, and she's got lots of answers. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Mrs. Green Goes Mainstream, News Talk 790, KNST.
News Talk 790, KNST.
Welcome back, everybody. This is News Talk 790 KNST, Mrs. Green Goes Mainstream, All Green Talk radio show, making sustainability fun, but more importantly, in my opinion, informative. We have an incredible guest today. I heard Susan speak at a conference here, I think, back in March, February or March. And Susan is a general partner with CALSEF, Clean Energy Angel Fund. And when I was doing research for my show, which I always do, Susan has quite a background. She received her law degree, cum laude, from Seattle University School of Law, and everything is magna cum laude, Phi Beta Kappa, in microbiology and public health from Washington State. And one of the most interesting parts to me is the segue to welcome Susan and to say thank you for calling in today. And how did you go from that background to CALSEF? And tell us a little bit about that.
Okay. Well, it's wonderful to be on with you. I really Have been looking forward to this afternoon and being able to talk to you and talk to your listeners. Wow, it's, you know, I think that the transition from biotechnology, biochemistry, and finally into venture capital and clean energy, you know, it takes a lot of turns and along the way, but I've always stayed very interested in the environment. I was actually with Weyerhaeuser Company for a number of years as their environmental counsel, worked in biotechnology, biomedical companies, so stayed close to the science. And the opportunity just came up a couple of years ago for me to be able to move from Seattle, which is my hometown, to San Francisco to start this the fund in clean energy and have the opportunity to really re-engage in a definitive way in entire environment and what we can do to help our planet. Even though ours may be a small little addition to it, we still feel like we're doing something good by helping promote clean energy companies.
Well, and I think it's extremely serendipitous that there was big news this week, and I got it across the wire in many different forms about what you funded, the $11 million that closed this week in terms of the investment strategies you picked for now. I think to tell our listeners, I do know quite a bit about venture capital and have been involved in taking a company public. The Clean Energy Fund, CALCEF, is really a very targeted, very clearly strategic focus on, I would say, seed startup investment for companies, and they really need it. I mean, it's a bridge to the bigger picture. Is that an accurate reflection of what you think what you guys do?
Well, you're spot on. You're very good. And, you know, I can't emphasize enough. There is a dire need for more capital into this seed stage for these young companies, as you well know. This is a time when just after the founder, friends and family have been helping in the very early stages when it's a great idea, and we often, as you know, call that love money because it's given out of the passion and the heart for the person, the founder. Then before we get to the larger Tier 1 venture capital funds and so forth that don't put in small amounts and typically don't invest at seed stage, there's this huge gap. We call it the Valley of Death. We call it the funding gap. Whatever you label it, it's real. And it's a very difficult process for young entrepreneurs with really interesting technology deserving of funding to find funding and to bring all those dollars together. And there are not enough resources in this early stage. So we do feel that we are making a big difference in a number of different ways. One, just being in clean energy, which is vastly needed, but for a whole host of reasons that we can talk about, for the environment and climate change and national security and so forth. But the other thing is that we are filling a huge gap in funding needs that angels, individual angels, in part help, angel groups help, but we really do need more, like ourselves, as seed funds that can invest in these companies and invest more over a time period with these companies as well.
And some of the companies, like you say, many, the vast majority, and I'm not really up on the most latest research. I was when I started my company, my first company in 92, they die. 75% of them go away because, like you said, I started my company with money from friends and family. But then I had to go and get money from the bank and look at the small businesses, you know, loans. It changes very much when you start to become a viable business, and most family members don't have enough to get you to that next stage. So what about I don't want to be all over the board, but I have so many questions for you. In terms of clean energy as a global priority, what are your thoughts on that, and why there are so many global priorities? But it seems to me, in what I do, that energy savings, it's not just for the preservation of the planet. There's an incredible economic value because of dependency on foreign oil, because of what happened in the Gulf. So what is your What are your thoughts on why clean energy has become such a major global focus?
Well, certainly you've touched on one of them, is the climate change. We do see that CO2 levels are rising precipitously, and you compare out through as long as we can read carbon equivalent, CO2 equivalent levels. The Industrial Revolution has created a definitive issue for us. We believe we need to hold the level of CO2 equivalents to around 450 parts per million. At the rate we're going, even with the regulatory mandates and so forth, we're going to go screaming by that. And that's extremely problematic. We cannot afford to have the Earth warm more than a certain percentage. And so we are in a dramatic stage of trying to do something about that. Some people would say it's almost too late, but we're going to do what we can. So clean energy has become a very important aspect of how do we combat climate change. And when we talk about clean energy, we're talking about more than just renewable resources like wind and solar and geothermal. We're also talking about energy efficiency. And when we talk about energy efficiency, we are talking about the opportunity for businesses and individuals to do smart things, typically by incorporating more energy-efficient devices or being more conscientious about use of their energy and actually reducing their energy consumption. You guys are not in the state of California, but let me just kind of give an example from the state of California is that here we have what's called decoupled. Our utility companies, their profits from their rates. And so it actually provides an incentive to them, and it also allows our Public Utility Commission to place mandates that not only do they need to put renewable types of energy production in place, but they also need to be doing a tremendous amount in energy efficiency so that we actually reduce the consumption of energy.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say it is predicted that we could reduce our overall CO2 emissions by over 40% by merely implementing energy efficiency technologies and reducing our energy consumption. That's huge.
It's huge, and it brings it back to what the whole purpose of Mrs. Green's world is bringing it back to the consumer, bringing it back to what the masses can do. And I think sometimes people think of clean energy, something that's out there in the development stage, nothing I can control, blah, blah, blah. And in our own homes, in our own businesses, there are so many things we can do to just reduce our energy consumption, bring it right back home. It's as simple as using CFLs. And I had a wonderful guest on last week who wrote a book about the United States energy crisis. And he has lots of data in his book. He's a very long fact finder. And Philip Green is his name. And he said, if people just changed out one light bulb, it would change our energy needs dramatically. And what did you say?
Isn't that amazing?
It is amazing, and it's running the numbers, so people can help. And I think that that's something that you're making clear. And when you also said about there are people that believe it's too late, I've had some of them on my show. And to bring that around to CalCEF, it's because of angel funding like yours that I still have hope, because the next greatest thing has yet to be revealed, and we can turn things around quickly. There are geniuses out there, young minds that can be as young as 8 or 12 years old or 24 that are thinking about how to solve this and doing things about it. So is that an assessment you agree with? Don't give up hope.
Absolutely. I never give up hope. I'm an optimist that we can do this for a multitude of reasons. And so, you know, the theory is that we have the opportunity with the technology that is developed now, or in a natural understanding of how humans progress to the next level of technology, that in the next decade we will have the technology that will allow us to address this issue and take care of it. The problem is this is an incredibly complicated issue.
It really
because
is.
It's politically charged, it's global. So what we can do on our individual basis, so many people say, what little thing I can do, how can it possibly do make a difference in climate change? Well, I mean, there's, we can have multiple different examples. The texting for donations to Haiti.
Right.
My local NPR station just did their fundraiser. You know, even $40 a person made a difference for them in raising their money. If we all have the right attitude about doing our own part and helping, it actually will make a difference. And it's getting people to appreciate that all of us are important in trying to take care of this issue. Changing the light bulb. And frankly, one of the biggest things is insulation. You know, depending on where, obviously, where you live in the United States, but insulating your house or double pane windows or more energy efficient appliances, not, you know, or peak use of energy, running your dishwasher at a non-peak time. You know, there's just a
washing your clothes in cold water. I mean, that
yes.
is really, you don't need hot water to wash your clothes. A solar water heater, they're affordable, really affordable solutions. So we're going to have to take a quick break. We are having an unbelievably great discussion with Susan Preston, general partner from CalCEF. We'll be right back. She's from the Clean Energy Fund, and I want to hear about the programs you just funded. We'll be right back.
All right.
Mrs. Green Goes Mainstream, News Talk 790 KNST. If you have questions, 520-880-5678. Susan and I will be happy to take callers, and don't touch that dial because there's lots more exciting news to come up in just a minute.
Because you never know what'll happen next. News Talk 790 KNST.
Welcome back, everybody. Happy Saturday. This is Mrs. Green Goes Mainstream, News Talk 790 KNST. Thanks so much for tuning in today, and you are going to get a treat again from Scott from Legendary World, who is a world traveler and is talking about local things. Your journey last week, we got so cut off because we always have so much to talk about, you and I. But I'd like to talk a little bit more about the garden.
Sure.
A, I don't have one. But B, I have loved observing what's been going on with you. And you're putting in a garden, and it's all part of a sustainable community.
Well, it's so funny because anybody that knows me, you know, every time I mention
what?
It, just starts
Scott
laughing.
Garden?
You know, my mom still doesn't
Dude.
Believe me until yeah. she gets out here and sees it. She's not going to believe me. I can send pictures, whatever.
Right, right,
but
right.
No, it was just part of this, again, green journey over the last year and a half since we've become friends and then spending time at the farmer's market. And I thought, you know, this would be really cool. And you hear about it. Everybody's talking about it. My friend Jonathan Landine owns Jonathan's Cork here in Tucson.
Great, great guy.
Has an amazing
garden.
Yes. And it's just, I've been over to his home. He does these private parties and things. And I keep seeing these, and they're the raised bed gardens. And I kept thinking, that's what I want. So I did. I actually called Jonathan. He toured me around. He's been giving me pointers. So I built these 3 15-foot-long raised bed gardens in my backyard.
I can't wait to see them
and
for your birthday.
Oh, it's just, yeah, no, it's amazing. And it's fresh and it's fun. You know, there's part
the
of it.
Kids will learn.
Yeah, we learned about sustainability.
Where are you getting your seeds?
I got the seeds from, and I apologize, I can't remember the name, but it's the woman at the farmer's market at
awesome.
St. Philip's on Sunday, which we go every Sunday just to hang out and buy
so
produce.
So they're not genetically modified
not,
seeds?
Nope. They're and she helps. So that's, again, part of it. You know, I think in this whole community thing is, again, I sit there and chat with her and she tells me, well, plant this then, you know, let's try this. She goes, you know, I did this in my house. Try it. So it's just been fun playing with all of that. And we started composting, which I never thought I would do.
Oh.
But because you have the garden, you know, I bought from Lowe's actually this composting unit, and you just throw your scraps in there from the kitchen. You throw in the yard scraps. It mixes it up.
I
and literally
love
within
it.
A month because it's sealed. So it's different than. You know, Jonathan actually composted his home, but it's this big bin
huge,
thing that you got to mix and stuff.
I know, and you have to turn it.
So this has made it easy again. You know, I bought this thing, and it puts out plenty, you know, to keep energizing my garden.
Right.
And
so
also, it's
big,
not going into the landfill.
I know. It's a win-win-win. So here's my big thing that we're going to get ready for. And maybe this will be in a couple of months. Everybody, I'm telling the world first. The next thing you know, Scott's going to come on the air, and he's going to say, guess what? I bought some chickens.
You never know.
Jonathan and
yep.
Colette have chickens, and boy, does that make a difference because it is the circle of life. You know, the chicken poop becomes part of the composting, which becomes part of the garden, which means you're putting really nutritious things on your plants, which they absorb, and then you eat the They have so many tomatoes. Did you have any tomatoes from his
garden? Yeah, no, we ate. We walked through the garden. We ate tomatoes, picked eggs,
gathered eggs. There's no – did you hear it, everybody? He's going to be telling me he's got chickens. Okay, Scott from Legendary World, who has been on his own personal journey. If you want to take a journey, please be in touch with him at legendaryworld.com, and you can always find Scott through Mrs. Green. Thanks for being on.
Green.
It was fun. Time flew. And I just really don't like it that he's beating me in the going green selection or the race for the alternatives. It cracks me up. So, Scott, thanks for being on. Now we're back to News Talk 790 KNST. We have Susan Preston from the CalCEF Clean Energy Angel Fund. And let's talk about the news that you made on the 22nd of the last round, the final close of your premier fund with just under $11 million. To some leading institution and individual investors. Can we talk about that a little bit? Welcome back.
Thank you. Sure, we'd be glad to. We were very happy to close. We had originally set out to raise $12 million, and we had started the fundraising right about 6 months before the recession hit. So actually closing, going through the recession and still closing within about 90% of our goal, we felt pretty good about that.
I think you should feel pretty good about that, too. That's huge success.
Thank you. We'd like to think so. And, this is a first-time fund, and it's a seed fund, so it's a higher risk and everything else. So all those different factors played into it. But we were also very pleased that we got both institutional and individual investors. And our structure is such that it is pretty unique. We call ourselves an angel fund primarily because we are investing at the seed stage, but also because we have a level of transparency to our limited partners that is very unique from any other venture fund. We do operate like a venture fund. Our legal structure is that we have two managers, myself and my partner, Paul Fox, but what we invest through an investment committee that is made up of myself and four limited partners. And we also invite all of our limited partners to our investment committee meetings. They can come even if they're not a voting member. And they can also look at all the deal flow that we get on a secure part of our website. So we believe that level of transparency is very enticing and interesting for our limited partners. And so far, they've been very pleased with that opportunity to be able to look at that. So.
And what
a little bit of a different model.
And it is. It's kind of a hybrid of a venture capital, if you ask me. It's a very, very exciting new paradigm thinking model from where I sit. So what types of – I know one of the people that was quoted in the papers in the press was Ian Rogoff from Nevada. And he just says exceptional deal flow, rigorous due diligence, extremely important when you're doing venture capital deals, and a solid network of fellow angels and industry resources is what brought him there. So what? That's the caliber of people that you're attracting. What kinds of deals did you fund? What type of opportunities can we get excited about?
Sure. Well, and not surprising, based on my comment a few minutes ago about energy efficiency, one of our first investments was in energy efficiency, and a young company we're very excited about just changed its name to Lumetric and was formerly called HID Labs. And what they have is, if you walk into big box stores, warehouses, your neighborhood Costco, for instance, and you look up and you see these great big lights that are domed and put out an amazing amount of light. Those are high-intensity discharge lights. And the technology for them has been very antiquated. It's magnetically based, and we all remember, at least my age, people around my age, you walk into your school gym and you flip on the lights and it takes 10 minutes for those to come on and they sizzle. Those are the old HID.
Right.
What Metric has done is they've made a solid-state light that's just straight out of the box of a plug-and-replace, the ballast, which is the brains of the light. You save 40% on energy consumption right out of the box.
That's the silver bullet for companies that are spending enormous amounts of energy, of money on their bills. So go ahead. That's unbelievable.
Well, and the problem, part of the problem is that we have to be realistic about clean energy and energy efficiency is that in our heart, we all want to do the right thing, but we have businesses to run, and we have things to accomplish, and we have shareholders. And so we can't just go out and spend double on something to be greener, unfortunately.
Right. Absolutely right.
So we have to look where there has to be a bottom line benefit. So these lights, along with that, they're instant on, instant off. They can be dimmed. Daylight harvesting, so they can be dimmed if you have daylight harvesting, you know, skylights. They have motion detection, so they'll dim down unless they see motion. We have a couple of sites that we've shown nearly 80% reduction in energy consumption with these lights.
See, that's there it is. There's the answer. So they have been, so was the money that you invested for more of the manufacturing piece that a lot of companies can get the startup and get the models out there and do the test market, but then it becomes a matter of having enough money to produce the supply for the demand?
In part. We came in at an early stage where the research was still being completed.
Okay.
The product was still being completed, and then we've continued to fund along with other venture funds that are in the syndicate with us. They're now in commercial sales. So the company is out selling their product out in the market now and having a very favorable response from the market. And it does many times still, though, come down to cost. So they've got to show a very quick return on investment for the company. They've got to show those savings, and that's important.
And it's easier to me, maybe not, but for businesses, when you're talking about maybe a four-year or five-year return on investment, sometimes than it is for the homeowner who has to do, like for solar, a $30,000 investment, and it's going to return over 10 years. It's like, what's in my paycheck today to pay the energy bill, and how can I do $30,000 worth of solar? So for big companies that have enormous electric bills, I would think that would be a very strong enticement.
Absolutely, and in fact, they're looking for returns on their investment in less than 2 years. In fact, they'd rather have less than 1 year.
That's awesome.
So, yeah.
And it's not just then. Again, it's not just the great product that's out there and saving energy. It's saving money and saving the planet. It's like the full circle, if you ask me. And I just want to repeat again, Susan Preston from CalCEF Angel Energy Fund, and it is always a pleasure to have people call in with questions, 520-880-5678. I get reminded of that regularly, that I forget to say the number, but we love to have questions. Okay, so that's one you funded. What's the next one?
The next one is a company that is doing, it's a little more, maybe a little less apparent for people just on an everyday basis, but biofuels, in order for us to start making biofuels, second and third generation biofuels from non-corn or food-based, in other words, from cellulose.
Right.
And that's including corn stover, switch chlorass, cane sugar, those sorts of things. We've got to figure out how to break down that pretty sturdy and hardy material. Enzymes are one of the most effective ways of doing that. And so we made an investment in a company that has the ability to identify enzymes that have a high specificity and are straight on targeted with that feedstock. So they have an ability at higher success rate in breaking down the material at a quicker speed and a more complete breakdown. So it's a company that identifies those enzymes for that area. And it's one of the big parts of preventing us from entering into full-scale biofuel production from cellulosic material is that enzymes are very expensive, and the ones that are available right now are highly non-specific.
Okay, we've got to take a quick break. Stay tuned. We want to hear the end of that. And I've got a couple of more questions for Susan Preston from CalCEF at Clean Energy Angel Fund. We'll be right back.
790KMSD.com.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Mrs. Green Goes Mainstream, News Talk 790, a very exciting show on this Saturday with Susan Preston, who's a general partner from CalCEF, Clean Energy Angel Fund. And she was talking about biofuels, which is a huge piece of our energy future. And, Susan, we do have a caller, and it's always good to hear what the callers have to say. Before we are off the air, I want to talk about the two other projects that you funded. I think there were two others that I read about, so we want to get those covered too. So who is our caller, Miss Kat? Okay, she's getting it on there. Okay, we can, let's just put him through. Sorry for the, okay, that we have a glitch in the matrix here, but it's okay. Ready? Okay, who do we have on the air here today?
Hello, this is John.
Hi, John. Thanks for calling in. What's your question for Susan?
Well, I keep hearing that it takes more electricity to make a solar cell than that solar cell will ever produce. Could you comment on that?
Great question. Susan, what's your answer?
About what kind of technology that you're talking about and the various attributes. We are bringing down the cost of production for cells. When you're talking about crystalline silicon, there is a tremendous amount of reduction in the cost of production of those types. But in particular, we're looking at thin film as a new type of solar material. And it doesn't have the efficiency of crystal silicon, but it can be made very cheaply. And so in the course of that process, the amount of power energy per kilowatt hour of the production that comes off of that solar is proportionately lower. So we are, in fact, working on all those attributes because we are looking where we can bring the cost down. The goal of solar, wind, whatever alternative energy you're talking about, is to be at what we call grid parity. And that includes the cost of manufacturing because otherwise that cost is built into and ingrained in the manufacturing cost and is passed on when the product is sold. So some things are borderline that way. I would agree with that. But all the new technology and some of the things we've invested in are moving toward a much lower cost of manufacturing, total cost, and we call that the balance of system. And so we look at that whole entire cost, and we also call that levelized cost. And so we're looking at all those attributes, including the amount of energy it costs to produce a solar panel or thin film or whatever it is.
And that's an incredibly content-rich answer because I know a lot about what's going on with our local electric company, Tucson Electric Power, and they are leaders in alternative energy. But there are, to me, there's like a race to the next greatest thing that's going to help bring it. Even if we did a 10% shift, that's enormous. So when you're talking about 15, 20% shifts in energy consumption or going to a cleaner energy, that's massive. If we could get there, I'd be pretty happy. So thank you, John, for calling in. Susan, what about the other two projects that you funded?
Certainly. Well, one of them I mentioned briefly in answering John's question is a company that is in the thin film. It's using cadmium telluride as the material of the solar nature of the material. And we're very excited about this company because this is doing exactly what I was just speaking about, is that they have a new way of depositing the material onto the substrate, and it is significantly cheaper to do. It takes steps out of the process, therefore taking energy costs out of the process. And it also has, it looks like it's going to be increasing the efficiency of the material rather substantially. And so all of these kind of added benefits and value, from an investor standpoint, just when you think of the value of what you're investing in, it obviously makes it a competitive advantage to have all those attributes. And so it's interesting from a pure investment standpoint. But from the environmental standpoint, what we're talking about is the ability to have this on a much broader scale out in the environment and in society. The last company that we've invested in recently is a thermoelectric company. And thermoelectrics, everyone talks about it as being this massive market. And what it is thermoelectric is really taking a temperature differential and creating electricity out of that temperature differential. When we think about all of the waste heat flues on power plants and industrial plants, a very large part of the energy that goes into processes is wasted as heat going out the exhaust flue.
Get it. Okay, got it.
So what if we were able to somehow have a thermoelectric device wrapped around that flue that would capture that heat and turn it back into energy?
I mean, You're kidding. I mean, got it. That's okay.
So thermoelectrics to date have been, they're very expensive. The materials that are used are very expensive. Well, this company, and actually was technology developed at Lawrence Berkeley National Labs here in the Bay Area, is looking at being able to create an effective thermoelectric at a fraction of the cost. And so now being able to apply that to waste heat recovery and all sorts of different applications becomes a potential reality. And we're very excited about that, of course, as well.
Well, I have two more questions, and one is about what is the process? I'm sure that you have so many more requests for funding than you have the ability to fund. So is it a rigorous online interviews site looking at the products? How extensive is the process when you're talking about investor money? I would assume quite rigorous.
It is. We figure we average around 250 to 300 hours of due diligence before we make an investment.
Okay. Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
And then do they come and present? I mean, is that, I know there are very different mechanisms for approaching venture capital. Do people come and do they actually have a face-to-face, or do you do it all with your research?
They do have to come face-to-face. I've looked at thousands and thousands of companies and met thousands of entrepreneurs, and after a while, it's like anything else. It's almost muscle memory. You can feel the person of, do they have the passion? Is this something they're completely committed to? But also, I have to meet them in person to know that they have other essential attributes, that one of which, very important to me, is that they're coachable. No one knows everything about building a company. It's a team that builds a company. And I have to know that this individual has the most schizophrenic personality in the world, in which they're passionate, driven, committed, you know, tenacious about their company, but at the same time, they're coachable. They take advice, they integrate it, they understand how to create the right company by doing that. So it's a very unique personality, and after you've met a lot of people through your years, you can pick out those personalities, those individuals that have that extra stuff really do come out.
They're literally almost willing to die on their sword. I remember sitting in front of venture capital prospects when we went to New York for our company, and it's really scary if you can get into your magic of your idea and get just forget who's there. I'm sure you get to the point where you can vet them fairly quickly because they want to bet the farm on their idea, and nothing will stop them. They're virtually unstoppable, is how I feel. I remember when you said that at the conference, and I wanted to stand up and cheer and go, yes, yes. But too many people in the audience knew me, so I just thought I just would tell you that after we came up to you when you spoke here. Okay, here's my next question, and I really want to know what you, Susan Preston, see in the next 5 years. What I see is Mrs. Green doing lots of research all the time is the next best thing is still not here yet. So solar is advancing rapidly. Other types of alternative energies are advancing rapidly. So can we take the next 2 minutes from your view at 30,000 feet of what you see, what you think we'll be seeing as consumers in the next 5 years?
I believe it will be a mixture of things. When we have this large of an issue, there is no single silver
There's no bullet. Silver bullet, right.
There is none. It is a multiplicity of activities and technology and integration. I think we will continue to see improvements in existing renewable energies, the introduction of geothermal and other types of renewables along the way, driving the price continuously down to grid parity. so that we can be competitive with coal. That's the grid parity line, is that how do you compete with coal? I would like to think that we will eventually have a carbon pricing, whatever form that comes in, because that is one of the fundamental things that we need. We need federal, we need global legislation and policy to have us driving toward the ability to do something effective here. When we look at this issue, this is a mammoth issue. This is on the equivalent level of when we built the highway system in this country, when we have the space race, and the government put billions and billions of dollars behind this because it was something was absolutely needed for the fundamentals of our economy, for the national security, all of these different factors.
We have to have that again. And what a big, huge bang to end up on. They can find you just by Googling CalCEF. Our listeners can find you to hear more about this great company. There's stuff on my website. Susan, thank you so much. I'd love to have you back in a couple of months to tell us what's going on. This is News Talk 790 KNST. Mrs. Green Goes Mainstream. Make it a great green weekend, and be careful out there. It's still hot. So thanks for tuning in. And Susan, thank you.
I blame my dad.
You've been listening to Mrs. Green Goes Mainstream on News Talk 790 KNST.
The late nights
all about learning that going green can be fun.
My mom's dad.
Visit MrsGreenGoesMainstream.com and tune in next Saturday at noon for Mrs. Green Goes Mainstream on News Talk 790 KNST.